Let's pray as we begin, and then we'll get started with a couple of things. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We pray that you might receive honor and glory and praise as a result of our meeting in your name this morning. We pray that you might bless the word of God. We wonder, Lord, sometimes I wonder how you can get praise from my life and glory, but I pray that you will be glorified this morning and that attention would be on you and on your word, Lord, and on the working of your spirit in our lives. We thank you for this Christmas Sunday. We pray for the Christmas program, that it might be blessed of you, that you might have your hand on it, that it might speak to everyone who comes. And may you work in this time, Lord. May you lead us in the scriptures and the things we say and the things we think, that you might receive honor and glory and praise. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about blessing, and one of the things we've been thinking about is material blessing. We're going to look a little bit at material blessings this morning. And we looked at spiritual blessings, and we'll look at material blessings. And then, Lord willing, we'll look at how to bless someone else. See right where we left off here. Oh, we're going to look at some blessings on Israel. But it's a little bit different as we look at blessings on Israel. Israel is a nation under God, a little bit different than our country. And they are God's chosen people. So you can't take the promises that are to God's chosen people and right across the board apply them and say, well, now they all apply to the church, because that's not true. Some things are specific to God's people. There are some blessings from Israel that do apply to us and that can be used to apply to us, because they apply to those who meet the conditions that are mentioned in those particular promises. And as we looked at blessing, we looked at obedience is always tied to blessing. There's no such thing as just blessing without respect to someone's obedience. And if we get there, that's where we'll look this morning. We'll look at, sometimes God has blessed one person on the obedience of another, even. But this morning we'll try to finish up with where we have been in our notes. And if I get to the right page, that'll help. We start with the personal blessings of God and in material things, and so we'll look at that. When we moved from Komolka to London about 4 years, I guess, ago now, and the house that we sold there was not worth as much as the house the Lord gave us in London. So we had to take a mortgage out, and the mortgage we took out was a 9-year mortgage, but we wanted to pay it off faster than that, and we've been able until this year. This year, I haven't had hardly any overtime. I have to have some overtime in order to be able to save something to pay the mortgage off with. So just recently, after summertime, usually summertime is our busy time, not this year. We're not busy at all through the summer. Matter of fact, I wondered if they're going to keep all the mechanics on even. So we've got to the end of summer, and I said to the Lord, when I was praying, I said, Lord, I really would like to have paid the mortgage down some this year, be able to pay it down some, save some to do that. And so almost immediately, there was a lot of work. I'm a road mechanic, so I work in the shop when it's not busy on the road. Otherwise, I chase off all of our equipment that's out. We have mostly it's construction equipment. So I chase it at construction sites. It's all, every time it breaks down, they call. I have to go and fix it day or night. And so the Lord is blessed that suddenly everything was breaking down. Now, normally that wasn't a blessing for the company, because that cost them more money, but it was a blessing for me because I got longer hours. And then we have at Toyota, we have a bunch of light towers. They had an unfortunate incident where one truck driver ran over another one in the nighttime last winter and killed him. His friend, best friend actually, ran over his friend and killed him. And as a result, they had to have more light immediately. So we got involved in that, and well, these tower lights. But it's an engine and a generator, and then it has like a tower with some really powerful lights. So it can light up the whole parking lot with, we've got 23 of them on site. And anyway, long story short, you have to change the oil in that just like you do your car. So every 1,000 hours, which is a very long time, but that's how the company wants to do it, we change the oil. But that all came up. So it takes quite a long time to do that and all the repairs to keep them going. So we have things like that, and the Lord is blessed that we were able to save some money. We have some money now to put down our mortgage and pay it off quickly. And so that was important to me. And the Lord saw that was important to me. And when I asked him to help with it, he helped with it. And somebody didn't give us a large amount of money, but he gave me hours to work, which is the usual way you'll get money anyways. And so I was very happy to be able to do that. And so even though it wasn't that busy for the shop, it's been busy for me. And because I do the road work. And so that was good, except for the last few days there last week. And I had to work up at Grand Bend on what seemed like a very, very cold day. All right. Deuteronomy 28. You don't have to go in your Bible. And I know some of you have an aversion. You cannot take a pen and write in the Bible. You just can't do it. So because I know that some people are like that, I've done that all the years since I started reading the Bible. I've taken a pen and underlined things and wrote notes in the margin. And it's there next time I go through there. I have a wide margin Bible. This is a fairly new one, so I don't have it full yet. But sometimes I put my notes in here, and sometimes I have written notes, but I like to do that. So take a piece of paper. Everybody got this? Conrad, I don't think these ladies in the middle have that. Would you mind to give them a copy, please? Anybody else need that? A couple more over there. All right. Now we're going to look at the blessings that have to do with Israel, a people in the land. And some of it will apply to us because some of this stuff applies, period. It just applies to anyone serving God. Enough there, Conrad? Oh, you're going to work on it. Oh, okay. Thank you, Robert. All right, if you don't have a piece of paper, try Deuteronomy 28 in your Bible, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. and it goes like this: "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God," I'm going to stop there. I have circled in my notes, I have circled "if," because blessing is connected to a condition, some sort of condition, some sort of obedience. So it's conditional. It shall come to pass, and what he's going to say later on is a whole list of blessings. All these blessings will come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, hearken means to listen. It's very simple. It's an old English word. It just means to listen. Diligently means to listen with attention or interest. Interest. Now, there's a problem that we often have. I got saved when I was 16 from an unchurched family. I had a great interest in the Bible. I think I have maintained that interest all through the years. I find it odd that people are not interested in spiritual things, that people claim to be saved and are not interested in the things of God. But for you, obviously you are interested, or you wouldn't be here at this early hour. So how are we going to listen to God? Well, we want to listen to God with an intent, with the desire to to really hear what he has to say. Now that comes with the desire to actually please him as well, to follow him, to obey him, and to do what is pleasing in his sight. So hark, if thou will hearken diligently. And so that applies to us. There are blessings, undoubtedly. There are blessings, many of them in life, that are connected to the way that we listen to God. Do we listen to want to please him, or do we just not listen? As the children of Israel many times did, they didn't listen to God or care what his word says. It's funny, you know, this is part of the law, part of the Bible that for most of the Old Testament time, or much of the Old Testament time, this is the Bible they had, and with other things being added to it as they were written, but they had for much of that time, when you read of Judges and Kings, and when people didn't serve the Lord, they had this. And if they had this portion of the Bible and ever read it, you would have thought it would have changed their lives as Israelites. If thou will hearken diligently to observe. The word observe has the idea of retaining in memory. You're going to remember what you have heard. It's so important. You always got after your children. You're like, well, how many times do I have to tell you that? Don't you think God feels the same? You wonder why things are repeated in the Bible. The same things are really repeated from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible. Why? Because we don't listen very well, and when we do hear, we don't retain it in our memory. We don't remember what we have been told. And so we need to be told over and over, and you get after your children, but if you look in the mirror, you're not any really much different. Hearken diligent to the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. That they will have preeminence, worldly preeminence, that above all the other nations, all the nations will have to look up to Israel. By the way, a lot of the hatred that there is toward Israel is based on the fact that they are God's special people. And they are God's chosen people above all the people on the earth. You would think it would make people want to be like them, but it seems instead to inspire hatred. But God said that he would set them on high. And now, the next verse, Deuteronomy 28:2. I hope you all have a page there. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now the word overtake. If you look up in the Hebrew, it means exactly what you think today. You're driving on a highway. Someone is behind you. They don't like your car. They don't like you. They don't like the speed you're going. But that isn't always the case. But they decide to pass you. And so when you say they pass you, that's the word overtake. That's what they overtake you. And they pass you, and then they pull in front of you and drive exactly the same speed you are driving. But they just cannot follow you. And I run into that all the time because I drive a big, huge service van. You know, I don't want to follow that big, ugly thing. So, you know, pass it. And but then they drive the same speed in front of you. Or some of our truck drivers say, you know, when people pass them, and then they drive slower. I'm sure our truck drivers here could say the same thing. People are strange. But imagine the blessings of God passing you. I mean, you just have so many blessings. It's like, you can't keep up to all the blessings that God is putting on your life. Would you like a life like that? Well, who wouldn't? Absolutely would like a life like that. Where you can't keep up. They overtake you, the blessings of God. There's so many of God's blessings in our lives. And watch again the word if you're circling it like I asked you to, then circle the word if there again and write a line under overtake. So that you understand that that's an important word. If, again, the condition. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. How important is that we listen to the Lord and that we spend time in the scriptures, in the Bible. Read the Bible. Read it every single day of your life. Let the only exception be if you are sick or otherwise unable to read it for some reason. But take time in the Word of God every day and in prayer, of course. Now, let's look quickly here at some things. Verse 3, blessed. Now, the word blessed just means to benefit. And you'll notice earlier that I mentioned that God's blessings have to do with good things coming into your life, with happiness, with personal help, with prosperity, things like that being put upon your life. And do we have another page? We'll need another page for Linda. She won't have it. Good morning, Linda. Oh, wait a minute, Conrad. I have an extra here somewhere. I have an extra two-page version. So, if you find on your sheet there where Deuteronomy is printed out, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 to and onward, we're on verse 3. So, blessed shalt thou be in the city. Well, if you live in the city, then that's good. You know, blessed be where you live, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. The blessing of God on you in the city and in the field. Well, in those days, most people farmed. Most people had some small farm that they grew a great deal of their own food and food for animals and things like that. So you'd go out of the city to your allotment and or where your field was and you would take care of that. Is it important that God blesses where we work? You spend so much time at work. I often say, just to annoy the lead hand in the shop, who has the bay right beside mine, his two girls, I say to him, you spend more time with me than you do with your own girls, I said, because you know, you spend more time at work than you do at home. That's just the way it is. And of course, he didn't like that, but, you know, I was just teasing, but it is indeed a fact. So do you need God to bless you while you're at work? Well, absolutely you do. You spend a lot of your time there. And in the city, your home, and all to do with your home. And certainly one would have to think the Lord also comprehended driving in cities today, what it would be like. You need the Lord to bless the place where you live, the place where you work, where your life is. And then in verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Well, the fruit of your body is children. It's your children growing up. And the fruit of thy ground, that's the crops that you grow. And of course, that relates to your work. But not everybody just farm. Many people would have a small bit of ground, and then it would do something else. It might be a blacksmith or any number of jobs that we still have today, a lawyer or run a store of some kind or work in the market or whatever it might be. Blessed be the fruit of your body, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, which is oxen, and the flocks of thy sheep. Now, the word cattle there just means any type of animal. So, that could be any other type of animal that they're raising other than oxen and sheep that they would have. Donkeys and horses and maybe camels, all kinds of things. But here's the blessing. So the blessing's very broad at this point. Do you want the Lord to bless you so that you can have children? So that your crops would grow. Israel was known in the day as the land flowing with milk and honey. And because of the early and the latter rain, as it's called, they were very fruitful and could grow great crops there. And so this covers a lot, because you go back in the day, people didn't necessarily have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of, a wallet full of money sort of thing. Like Job. Job was a rich man, but his money was all invested, if you will. Just like we invest money today. They invested their money into things like these huge, huge flocks that they had. Oxen and sheep and investment in animals, and having all of these animals were where a lot of times where money was, and where your riches were. And so when the devil took all of that from Job, that was a great hit to him. So, but this is a reference to that. You know, not many people are working the ground today, and so that wouldn't mean so much. Now, it's not everybody even gardening anymore. Or the fruit of your cattle, or the fruit of your kine, which is oxen. The increase, the key thing here to look at is the word thy in this verse. Because it's just a reference to material things that we have. And really, we could say where your money is. Want God to bless your investments? Want God to bless you personally in a material way? Because a lot of God's blessing is that way. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. The word store means a bowl or a kneading trough. And if you remember, as they came up out of Egypt, they didn't have time for the bread to rise, and so they brought the kneading trough with the bread in there, and it didn't get to rise, and so they had to eat some unleavened bread, and unleavened bread became associated, of course, then with the Passover, and their quick exit out of Egypt, This is a reference to things like that. That's how they would carry the bread when it wasn't done. It was in this trough where they would knead it and where it would rise and that sort of thing. The basket, of course, that's how you carried the crop. You carried the crop in baskets. Now we have trucks and truck drivers. This is a blessing because it was very common for enemies to send small raiding parties into Israel. And as the harvest came off, whether it was olives or whatever it was very common for a small raiding party to come in and just steal your crop. Steal it on the way to where you would store it. That's what this verse has to do with the blessing on the basket and whatever you use to carry the crop. How you would transport the crop, that you would be safe doing so, that you would just not, what good to have a good crop and have God's blessing to have a good crop and then have somebody steal it. You need the blessing on the basket and the store as well. verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now, coming in and going out can be a reference to going out or coming in on people in battle and war. It can be a reference that to attack the enemy and to go home many times loaded with possessions from that. And David, for example, David dedicated a lot of the spoils of the war. He couldn't build the temple, but he dedicated it so that when Solomon came along to build the temple, he had a lot of material already amassed from King David and from the generals in the army that would give donations from these great spoils of war that they had. They'd have spoils of war because people who were warring would fight with this person and that, and that, you know, this many times cities were their own like little place. Not really their own country, but sort of, with a more or less a king to take care of them. And so if you took several cities on your way to fight against Israel from somewhere else, you would take all of the good things from them and carry it with you. So that when you wouldn't say, well, who would go to war and have with him all kinds of jewels and gold? And you see that in the Bible all the time. That's because when they fought a previous people, they took all of their possessions with them. And so if they came against Israel and God blessed them, they were overcome whatever enemy was attacking them. They didn't just attack Israel. They attacked everything else on the way there. And they would have all of these spoils of war. And so for God to bless you when you go out, when you come in. Well, what do you do every day? You go out and you come in. I mean, not very many of us get to stay home every day. We're always going. We're going to church. We're going to work. If you're still able to take care of yourself, you still got to go for groceries and get clothes and things once in a while. That's your life, going out and coming in. How important is it for you to be blessed when you do that? And taken care of and not in accidents and things like that. God just taking care of us. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Seven ways is just a reference to the fact that when you go against the enemy in war with the blessing of God, they will have one targeted attack against you, whereby they might win. But when you go out against them, they'll flee seven ways, or which we would say every way. They would just look for every way they could to get away. This verse has to do with victory in war. Victory. Absolute victory is the victory that's spoken of here. Now, who doesn't want to be successful in their life and have the blessing of God where your enemies don't have the upper hand against you? And this is one of the promises to Israel. It could be applied to us if we also take heed to hear the voice of God and to do all of his commandments, as the Bible says. It could apply to us. But it applied specifically to Israel in those days, that they could always have victory in war. Now, one would think, wow, you know, if that was the only blessing, they would be careful to obey the commandments of God, but they were not, as you know. And you would think that they would be looking for that blessing, that they would be safe with their families. But to have absolute power, to be able to say that you always win, to always win wars. Do you know a period of time in Israel when this was actually a fact? I'm thinking of the reign of King David. I don't remember ever reading where they lost. They just seemed to constantly be successful, and the attention was always to follow the Lord and to obey him and to be always victorious. That's a great thing. Now, we're not Israel, so we can't say that if Canada went to war, we would have victory like this, because Canada does not take heed to hear the voice of God or to obey his commandments. But for us personally, to have the Lord take care of you, no matter how nice you are, and it's been proven, and the nicest person I know is my wife, and it has been proven that even if you are super nice to people, like she always is, you will still have some people that don't like you. I don't understand that, but I always say about her and Phil in our family, my son Phil, who is just like her, that if somebody doesn't like them, it's their problem. It's not my wife's problem. She's always very kind to people. And that's come in handy for me over the years. She's very kind to me. But you know, you will have some enemies. You will have some people that will just try to make your life miserable. But again, this will apply to please the Lord and to obey His commandments. The Lord will bring a certain victory. Verse 8, Deuteronomy 28:8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Now, He's going to command a blessing for the storehouses. Food had to be stored. Grain had to be stored. You imagine in those days how hard it was to keep mice out of a granary. When you didn't have, you know, sheets of steel and modern concrete. Very difficult. And of course, then they had all the things that we have, like mold and rot and things like that. But the Lord said He would command a blessing on their stores as they, you know, put the hay away and all of those things, that God would take care of that and bless them in that. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto. Now, think about that. All that you set your hand, you say, well, I think I'm going to try something new. My son-in-law just recently decided that rather than playing video games with all of his spare time, he would learn photography. So now he's into photography, and actually the Lord seems to really be blessing him with that, in that he's doing weddings, and him and his brother are busy all the time with that sort of thing. You know, imagine if you just decided to take up something else. To have the blessing of God in all that you put your hand to. My, that's wonderful. But that's what we can have. And it's a promise to Israel, of course. But God can bless us the same way. The last statement in verse 8, He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Of course, that was a specific thing. Verse 9, a specific thing that applies just to them. The Lord shall bless thee, shall establish thee rather, an holy people unto Himself. All right, the word holy often means set apart. So you'll be a different people than all the other people in the world. But there's a direction to holiness. Holiness means set apart unto God. And you notice He says that here. He says, thou shalt be a holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. There is a spiritual connection to material blessing. It's important to realize that there is a connection to pleasing God with having God bless your wife, your life, rather, and your wife, even in a material way, with things and possessions and money and stability in life and confidence that brings, those sorts of things. Verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the word afraid can mean to be afraid with fear, but it can also mean honor and respect, that the Lord would bless them that way. They would. Doesn't everybody want a certain amount of honor and respect of other people? God said He would do that to His people. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. This is prosperity and material things. Plenteous in goods. This is kind of a recap of some of the other things we looked at here. Material prosperity, the fruit of thy body, children, the fruit of thy cattle, wealth, the fruit of the ground in the land which the Lord swear unto the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Now, what exactly is the good treasure of God? This is where you take a pen and you put the number one by the heaven, where it says the heaven, number one of the things that are the good treasure of God is the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. Nowadays, with all of our modern improvements, hybrids and farming, things that are available to farming, almost always farmers get a crop. When I was a kid, every now and then, though, I remember the first year we grew soybeans, for example, they all molded, and they weren't resistant to mold back then, and so unless you had a really nice fall that wasn't wet, things like that happen, you lost the crop. In some places, they lose their crops because no rain. I remember we lived on the clay ground. I'm from just outside of Lambeth, just Delaware Township, third concession of Delaware Township. I remember taking a piece of hay, 4 feet long, a piece of Timothy hay, and sticking it down the crack in the ground. And it went all the way down, 4 feet, there was a crack in that old clay ground. One summer, it was so dry. Well, you don't get a very good crop. Here, you just don't get a very good crop. You don't very often lose a whole crop here because it doesn't rain. But there are many places on earth like that. One of the good treasures of God has to do with the weather, obviously. But beyond that, one of the good treasures of God, just the help, just the general help, because you might say, well, we weren't farmers. Yes, but one of the good treasures of God is just the help in all of the things to make things turn out good. Where you work, to make things turn out good for you there. And in general, things like that. To bless you in your life. So the heaven to give rain in his season. Number two, and to bless all the work of thy hand. Again, a tremendous statement that God would bless everything that you do. Now, God's not going to bless people who do evil, but the whole idea here about the blessing of God is to those who diligently, they listen and they remember the things that God said, and to put them into practice in their lives. And so the people who are trying to please God can have blessings like this, where the Lord can bless everything you do, that all that you do, the work of your hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations and shall not borrow. The third thing of the good treasure of God is... Number one was the general things like rain, general, making things work for your benefit. The second thing was to bless in all the work of thy hand. Everything you do, that there's a blessing of God involved in it. And the third thing is financial superiority. You're going to think that I'm not one of these modern preachers that preach that the blessing of God is just financial superiority. But it is connected here. And it was to Israel, and I think it can be applied to his people today. If you think about these blessings of God, these are the blessings of God that the world promises and the devil promises to people who follow him. These are the blessings of God. They're for the people of God. Now, the world tries to offer them, but essentially cannot give them, because these things are connected to obedience, to first knowing Christ as your Savior, and then walking in a way to please him, and listening to his voice, and following him with obedience in your life. And if you do those things, then the Lord will open his good treasure to you. And who does not want God to open his good treasure and bless you in material things? Now, we looked at spiritual blessings first. Now there are material blessings, and well, who doesn't enjoy those things? Yeah. You know, we enjoy material things. Now, material things should not be more important than the one who gave them. And they should not be more important than spiritual things, but by any means. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, which is an old way of saying that the Lord will put dignity on the nation of Israel. Instead, they would be, and it's repeated here in a second way, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Popularity. And like I said, some of the popularity, unfortunately, that Israel has gained has been they're popularly hated, but they could have been so much more blessed of God than they were. And unfortunately, you could look back in your life, and I can look back in my life and say, I could have been more blessed of God than I was had I been more willing to obey him or interested in doing so. And so thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if, there again, here's the condition, if that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or the left. Now, if we're going to talk about obeying the voice of the Lord, we've got to talk about this. Always in the scriptures, don't go to the right hand or to the left. Stick with the Bible teaches. We talked about last week about what seem like opposing doctrines. Hold them in balance as the Bible teaches them. Don't be all on one side or all on the other. We talked a little bit about that. Don't go aside from the words that I command you, he says. Do not compromise, either to make it better, quote unquote, you can't make God's word better, or to make it less, because both ways are idolatry. He says, don't go to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to serve them. Now, there are many people who have taken an extremism point of view of the Bible, and they have certain doctrines or certain slant on certain doctrines that they love so much it's all they can ever talk about, and that's idolatry is where that's going. Then there is liberalism the other way. There's those who want to be extreme and almost add things to the Bible, and then there's the other side of those who want to lean the other way and you know, explain away the things in the Bible that they don't want to do. And that also is idolatry. The Lord always says, don't go to the right hand or left. Keep the commandments, but keep them as they are, and not making something more important than should be or less important than it, as our Lord said about the Pharisees and the keeping of the law. You know, these you've done these, and then there's these other things that you ought to have done. And so we'll end there. Thank you, Father, for this time and the study of the Scriptures. We pray that it will be a blessing for us to realize the blessings that you could have on every one of our lives, and how you blessed Israel and could bless them if today they would be saved and walk with you. And we pray that you will encourage us, Lord, to have that desire to hear you and obey you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.